This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and GP3 with you for the next hour. Up at FM 105.7 AM 1340 over at FanRunRadio.com. You can click the link there to listen to the stream. Also, we got the Periscope up and running at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and Facebook. Second hour smiles heading into the weekend. And then we also do have that free FanRun Radio app. Get that today. Get all the 12 hours of local programming here at Fox Sports Knoxville right in the palm of your hands. Opening drive, hour number two, first down, Charlie.
First down. We got some coaching movement in the SEC.
Love coaching movements.
Things have been a little dicey for Brian Harsin down at Auburn, down on the plains, and it's getting a little dicier, as he is losing his defensive coordinator, Derek Mason, who was, you know, applauded for having a really solid season in his first year at Auburn. He is leaving to go join Mike Gundy's staff at Oklahoma State as Oklahoma State's defensive coordinator, which is not a good sign. Not a good sign for Harsin when you're losing defensive coordinators from the SEC to the Big 12.
Yeah.
Not a good sign when, you know, it's especially after he's coming off a good year. You know, I'm pretty sure he was getting paid more at Auburn, too, than Oklahoma State. I guess, you know, they probably matched his salary, but I can't imagine that they were able to pay him more at Oklahoma State than you get paid to be the DC at Auburn. So, not good developments there. Auburn expected to promote their run game coordinator to their defensive coordinator.
All right. Second down.
Second down. Memphis played basketball last night.
They did.
Did they?
Which really means that Memphis lost a basketball game last night, because that's what they do when they play basketball games. They are now 9-8. They're 3-4 in the American Conference, and the odds are that one of us might have a higher vertical at this point than Imani Bates, who is measured at a 23-inch vertical. Not that high, you know. I think maybe, you know.
Well, no, I'm still going to go out on a limb and say that's higher than mine.
I think maybe my peak. You know, I could have come pretty close.
23-inch vertical for a month. That's,
well,
that's so bad.
Anyways, after the game, Penny Hardaway got asked the tough questions, as you would normally get after you fall to 9-8 and 3-4 in conference with the number one recruiting class in the country. He proceeded to say, "I think the one thing I can say to this media, because the media kind of gets effed up sometimes when it comes to me, we don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid effing questions about it, about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about anything. We have four freshmen starting, and y'all need to act like it. Act like we've got 17, 18, 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24-year-old guys. Come on, man. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Don't do that. I work too effing hard. I work too hard for all that. And y'all write all these bull bleep articles about me, and all I do is work. We've got young kids on the floor."
Sounds like Butch Jones with some Memphis flair.
Sounds like a man that's unraveling quickly, whose job status is unraveling quickly. who was not cut out to be a head coach, nor will he ever be cut out to be a head coach. And he sounds like a guy that doesn't really want the smoke.
I wouldn't say that. You can't say that he's not going to.
Sounds like he's the chump.
He's been a decent coach.
Win at an AAU, that's not hard. Hey, you're good. Come be my starting five. I'm going to put my hands behind my head on the bench.
He worked coaching in high school, championships, state championships up there at all.
You're better than anyone else that will play or that will be remotely close. You're my starting five. I'm Penny Hardaway. I'm going to sit there.
Okay, let me finish.
I want positivity.
I'm like Penny Hardaway. Thank you, GP. I want positivity. I'm just saying. He's a coach. As he struggled, is he probably not going to get it done in Memphis? No. And it's on him. He brought a lot of this flack by the way, you know, he had the issues with Barnes. They're back and forth in the public, you know, things he said in that first matchup. And he's brought a lot of this on himself because he's been very vocal. So the whole, you know, stop disrespecting me, I can get that to a certain extent, but he's brought a lot of this on himself. Also, I was a big Penny Hardaway fan growing up, so I like Penny a lot. But he did build this roster. I mean, it'd be the same thing we'd be saying to Barnes. Like, you got all these freshmen, you got talented freshmen. We give Calipari flack for that. You know, you've recruited well, but you can't get it done. So I mean, it's on him. He's got to do better as a coach if he wants to keep this job. And
dude,
eventually, he's the hometown kid, but he's gonna have to turn around.
They have the best recruiting class in the country with projected lottery picks, and he's complaining about not having the guys. You're in the American, brother. You're not playing, you know, absurd rosters night in and night out. There's only really one tournament team in that roster, with Cincinnati and SMU having the potential to be two or three. Like, it's not that challenging. Night in and night out. It shouldn't be for the roster that they have. And then saying that everyone on that roster, 22, 23, 24. What? No? You just think SMU has a roster full of super, super COVID seniors? Like, I mean, maybe, yeah, they have a couple older guys. Like, they have some seniors. But if you look at the contributors for SMU, like, generally they are average-age college players. Penny is a clown, really. He's just a guy that never deserved to be a college basketball coach, and is proving why.
I don't think that you can't say he didn't deserve it. He had a pedigree. He was coaching.
Was just Penny Hardaway. He had AAU connections, and everyone was just like, okay.
Yes, dude, they love him in Memphis. Yeah. You cannot deny that.
Yeah, they do.
Charlie, he was coaching, he was climbing
the
ranks.
They love me at the Waffle House. Does that mean that I need to be a head coach?
They love Scott Frost in Nebraska, and I mean, it's not working.
I'm just saying, like, you can love someone. I'm not saying that it's, like, yeah, I'm with you, but, like, Scott Frost got the Nebraska job because he was hometown kid, and he was coaching at UCF, and they did well there. But I'm saying it made sense for them to bring him in at the time.
Memphis, for sure.
Memphis needed a facelift. They needed somebody that was going to get the fan base going. If I'm the AD at Memphis, I would have done it too. It got the fan base pretty hype. He was able to recruit some primetime players from the area, players off the high school that he was coaching. He had won some state championships. It made sense. It was not a very...
Oh, I mean, I don't knock him for hiring people. Yeah, it made sense.
It was a flashy hire.
Move. It was, but...
I don't think so.
I don't think it was that risky because he was so beloved in Memphis, and he's NBA. You know, he spent in Memphis.
But it was risky in the sense that he hadn't proven himself as an actual coach.
As a college basketball coach, he had.
As an actual coach.
You can't say that when the guy's winning state titles, man.
With superior talent.
Okay, and a lot of high school coaches win state titles with superior talent.
And a lot of them aren't necessarily always great coaches or deserving to be college coaches.
I'm not saying he's great.
Nobody's saying that. Y'all are arguing two sides of the same coin.
I'm literally just saying you can't say that he didn't deserve to be a coach there or that it didn't make sense.
Everyone that would just win state championships deserved
to coach.
It made sense, Charlie. High program.
You don't like Penny Hardaway. Take your bias out of it.
I don't like Penny Hardaway either, but it made sense for them to hire
him. I think he's going to fail too.
I'm not even saying that it didn't make sense to hire him. I'm just saying it proves that he was not.
It didn't make sense to hire him.
I said he was a risky hire, and it's obviously I was right because he's pretty damn bad. Third down. Bracketology.
I hope the Titans win for your mental health tomorrow. By God, if there's anything I want, I am praying right now to sweet little baby Jesus that the Titans win so Charlie don't come in here and act like an ass next week.
He's going to pull a Draven.
Yeah.
Penny Hardaway just sucks. Penny Hardaway sucks.
I want the Titans to win so bad.
He's a clown.
So you can be positive.
He's a chump.
Positivity, Charlie.
He doesn't
want
the smoke. He said, you know, I still hold a grudge against Penny for what he said with the closed fist talking down about Rick Barnes when he's just a clown of a coach and a clown of a human being.
Third down.
Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology came out this morning, updating you on where Tennessee is. He currently has them as a
5.
GP3?
I said 6 last time, so I'm going to stick with 6.
A 5 out west in the San Francisco region playing either TCU or Florida State in the play-in. They would be in the
play-in? No.
What? Yeah, we would get a play-in team if in this hypothetical scenario 2 months away from the actual tournament. Xavier would be the 4. UCLA would be the 3 in this one. Kansas 2 and Gonzaga the 1. The 6 would be UConn. The 7, Iowa. Some other notable SEC teams. Auburn is the 1 seed. The overall 1 seed. They also have Alabama as a 5 seed. They have Kentucky as a 3 seed. They have – I just lost LSU for a second. They have LSU as a 4 seed, and they have the last team in – or excuse me, the first team out being Texas A&M.
Is Memphis officially out? Like they're no longer on the bubble?
Yeah, they're not even on the bubble. Florida is in the last 4 in. They also have Mississippi State and Arkansas in the first 4 out. So the first 4 out, 3 of the 4 are SEC schools.
A play-in game? Like,
that don't make me feel good.
Playing the winner of a play-in game?
Oh, I thought you said we were.
Yeah, you said
no,
play-in
game. I
said game.
We are the 5 seed playing either Florida State or Xavier, or whoever I said, from the play-in game.
I didn't hear that part. I just heard...
I thought you said we were playing.
I heard we're playing in a playing game. I was like, that's awful.
I
was like,
I think that didn't even make sense because I didn't
as
think
a
five
seed.
Played,
yeah.
Played
no, yeah. No, I said we would be playing the.
I'm with you. I was so confused.
I said it would be Tennessee, and then they have it.
I blame it on
State
Penny Hardaway.
TCU in a play-in.
Yeah, because isn't it usually 11 seeds and 16 seeds that do play-in games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like one of the first 4 out or whatever, yeah. Those teams. All right. Fourth down in the entertainment world. Sad news, too. Two sad news for you today. Emmy winner, Louis Anderson. You know Louis Anderson. Life with Louis. Also, I think Bobby's World, too. He had a voice on there.
He was in Coming to America.
Coming to America. Stand-up comic and star of Baskets has died due to complications from cancer. He was 68 years old. Sneaky old, Louis Anderson was. Very sneaky old. And also... in the entertainment and music world, Grammy winner, born Marvin Lee Adey. You know his real name? Or not his real name, his stage name?
Stage name.
Do you?
Yeah.
You already saw it. You know his stage name?
Well, I said it earlier, too. I don't know if Charlie heard me.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
I didn't say it on air. I said it during a break.
Oh, yeah. Grammy winner, Marvin Lee Adey, also known as Meatloaf, dies at the age
Meatloaf?
Of 74. Yep.
He was 74?
Sneaky old. In a statement on Facebook,
Paradise
his family
by the dashboard light, baby.
Said he was an inspiring artist and beautiful man. His cause of death has not yet been confirmed. His debut 1977 album, Bat Out of Hell, remains one of the best-selling albums in U.S. history with more than 14 million units sold. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. What would he not do?
I don't know.
Just wouldn't do that.
I remember when the Cavs made the trade for Kevin Love and they were giving up a huge package. Or what? Like ESPN posted the Facebook article and somebody commented that. It was like the top comment. It was like, I would do anything for Love, but I wouldn't do that. And it was like giving up like Andrew Wiggins and everybody else that they traded.
That's a pretty good one. Hey, that is your opening drive on this Friday, January 21st. The year 2022. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back. Let's get into the divisional playoffs. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fox Sports Knoxville.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right in
The video, I don't really remember this, but this video is quite the artsy type of video. It's like he's the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Oh, look at this, Charlie. It's like
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very...
I need it to zoom out again.
I don't know. And then he almost looks like the Penguin from, like, the original Penguin, like the Batman.
It's one of my mom's favorite songs, like, ever. This song is.
I just want to know what he wouldn't do, though.
But I won't do that? Like, no. Mary, I think, is what he's talking about. Like, saying
really?
I love you and, like, settling down. I don't know. Maybe?
He just never say. He just
no, no, wait, no, no, no. It's, she said, it sets up, like, her saying, like, will you promise me you'll never leave me? Like, something like that. And then he's saying, like, I won't do that. Or, I think it was something like that. I don't know. It's,
look at this.
Again, it's an 8.5 minute long
what
song.
What is this? Is this a very long song? We cannot listen to this entire song.
I mean, we might as well just sit back.
The video,
you know, just listen
is very
to the whole
weird,
song,
though.
Not talk about the playoffs.
I mean, there's probably a lot of Meatloaf fans out there. Not as many as we would need. All right, you can fade it down. I'm kind of done with it now. I think the videos.
I want to plan us out on the other side.
The video is the weirdest thing.
Now
I can't stand. I'm just trying to. I don't remember that, and I remember that song. 865-546-8200. Since we've opened up the phone lines once again, we got some Meatloaf enthusiasts. Let's go ahead and take a phone call from Roberto. Roberto, we don't hear from you very often. How are you?
Not a long time, no talkie.
Yeah, you're doing well.
I'm usually working while you're on the air.
I only work
like 2 real hours a day. I'm like Peter from Office Space. Isn't that his name?
Yeah, Peter. It is Peter.
I work like 15 real minutes a day or whatever he says. I mean, if you're playing Meatloaf, I mean, come on. Not only do I love Meatloaf the food, I also love Meatloaf the singer.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I Would Do Anything for Love came out. I was 12 years old, right?
Yeah.
That was the song, not a song. And it was the most artsy-fartsy video I could remember at that point in my life.
It's so artsy. I didn't remember it. And I remember this song and, you know, remember a lot of videos from back in the day. This was released in 1993. So yeah. I was 9 at the time, but I don't remember this video. This is very artsy.
Yeah, I remember coming, and he does. He looks like some kind of like a mixture between the Hunchback of Notre Dame and like a gargoyle.
Yes, that's what the gargoyle. He does. He looks like a gargoyle. That was the other thing I was trying to come with. I was like, he looks like the Penguin from the original Batman. Like kind of like,
does. Yeah,
a little bit of that with the pale white face.
Don't get me started on original Batman Adam West style from the series from the 60s and 70s. That's too good. So,
oh, yeah. Boom. Pow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and that movie is just classic. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I highly recommend going home and watching it this weekend. Miss Kitka, let's go. You know what I'm saying, boy?
So,
it's really sad he died, but I also enjoy the food, and it got me thinking, like, of the one named acts out there, like the most famous are, what, Prince and Madonna? Is that probably true?
Seal. Maybe.
Yeah.
Seal? You're putting Seal on the level with Prince. Okay, I know where you stand.
Did you say with Prince? Oh, no, not with Prince.
No, I thought you were just naming one name acts.
No, I was just saying, like of all those, think about how many we've actually lost. It's really
sad.
Oh,
yeah. We have, like, lost a lot of great musical artists over the last, like, just 5 years, it seems like.
Yeah, I know.
I know Prince was, like, 2016. So, yeah. 5-6 years. We've lost a lot.
Moving from... Say what?
I'll just say we've lost a lot of good like musical celebrities and acts over the years, in the last 6-7 years.
Moving from one, I created my own segue by accident, gentlemen. Are you ready for this? Moving from one named artist to another. How about Penny down at Memphis, man? You talk about an artist. The way he wove that fake tough guy act together for the last 30 years is something to behold, isn't it, guys? He's such
Amen.
A big, tough guy.
Amen, Roberto. He's a chump.
He's a chump, man. I mean, he's supposed to be hood, right? Chance, I mean,
yeah.
Seriously. Like,
nah,
do you remember, like, when we were kids?
No, nah,
he's supposed
he's,
to be hood.
He is from mean streets of, you know, Memphis.
He's I didn't know where he was from exactly, but I don't think he's from Orange Mound, which says something, but still. Like, he's soft, right?
It seems that he does have a problem with the media. It seems that he is a little hurt over the media, which that's understandable. I mean, you're a coach, man. You got to take the flak.
Part of it's his fault, too. He told the media 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that he was having problems with his older players and bad locker room attitudes and guys not wanting to play and guys not being accepting and, like, jealousy within the locker room. So then, obviously, if you tell them that, they're going to question your job security even more. Dummy?
Yeah, no, he was a fool yesterday. He should have said, no, we were dealing with some things within the roster, whatever you say to that end. And then you say, no, I don't feel like I've ever lost the ability to coach my team.
So Penny didn't.
I mean, he basically said yes by saying no yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. Penny didn't grow up in Orange Mountain, but he did grow up in Binghamton.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. That's a pretty rough part of Memphis, though. That's where they got, shotgun houses. that's a pretty rough area.
I'm pretty familiar with Memphis. Got a place down there. We're there often. And nice. You find yourself in Binghamton,
you can take
Raleigh,
one. You take one wrong left or right, and you find yourself.
Buddy.
I've done it before in Memphis.
Oh, yeah. One of my friends was getting married. He's like, I'm on, and he tells me the road, and I will spare the road because there may be somebody in your audience from there. I was like, turn around.
Yeah.
Quickly. That is not a good area for you to be, no matter who you are.
Roberto, are you a Titans fan as well?
No, I'm not a Saints fan.
Saints fan, okay. I don't
pull against the Titans. I do have a soft spot for Cincinnati a little bit just because my couple of my best friends live up there, and they've been Bungles and Reds fans their whole life, and they've never known anything but strife, and they're Tennessee fans. I mean, come on. But I'll just say I think the Titans are winning, and I won't hate it if they do. For my Titans fans friends, I want to see them happy. I don't have any problem with that. I mean, the Saints were out of it, so whatever.
Thanks, right? Roberto. I appreciate that.
I really do. I want to see you boys happy. There's nothing wrong with wanting your friends to be happy. I don't actively root against the Titans like a lot of people that aren't Titans fans. I don't actively root against them or anything. You're going to win, especially if Derrick Henry's healthy. We will learn a lot tomorrow about the Titans' destiny for the Super Bowl or not. Rides on his legs.
From what I've heard, he is perfectly good to go, full workload. The king is.
The question
returned.
Is, does he trust his foot, though? Not
yeah,
does everybody
see,
else.
And exactly. And again, he should be okay. And again, it comes down to, does he trust his foot, like planting on it, cutting everything else? Because the foot is okay, but will he be okay with it? And indications point towards yes.
Didn't the pro football doc on Twitter kind of analyze the video and say that it looked like he was still kind of gingerly pushing off on that foot during practice?
That was like 2 weeks ago, and that guy's also, I'm not a huge fan of him. He's just
it's hard. I mean, you know, one of my best friends is a great orthopedic surgeon here in town, and he watched a guy earlier this year and texted me in the middle of a game and was like, I think he just tore his ACL, and then he was back in the game later. So, I mean, there's only so much you can tell without actually doing the assessments, you know. So, guys, I won't keep you any longer. Thanks so much for the time and letting me bag on Penny and express my love for not only Meatloaf the singer, but Meatloaf the food. Guys, it's extra Worcestershire. You got to have extra Worcestershire. That's what sets it off.
Love it. Appreciate the phone call, Roberto. Good talking to you. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the G3 Help Me Hotlines, just like Roberto, a good call by him. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Since we ran over right there, we'll get into the NFC divisional matchups and also the AFC, and then we'll pick Vols winner and football picks. So keep it locked here. Two more segments, and then we go into the weekend. DVOA, that's what we're talking about during the break. I don't know what it means. It's like defensive.
Defensive adjusted value over average, I believe.
Gotcha.
Something like that. I don't know. DVOA nerds piss me off.
I heard you and John talk about
that. It's just like
in
baseball, people who only cite advanced statistics.
Sabermetrics.
Like, it just has, it can be an
sabermetrics.
It can be an aspect of your evaluation, but it can't be your only evaluation. Like, you have to look at several different data points to come to an entire conclusion. Just like Pro Football Focus. Like, that can't be your end-all, be-all, because those guys are limited within their evaluation. They can look at a safety and be like, oh, he blew coverage here. But how do you know it was really him? You don't know what play was called. Like, it's just stuff like that. You know, they're all data points, but they're not solo evaluators.
Very, very true. A lot of things to go. A lot of external factors to go in there. Yeah, I'm with you. You can't just rely on one, like, stat. That's why I feel the same way about the...
I like to use them.
With the people who do sabermetrics, too. Like, yeah, like, those things mean a lot, but that doesn't necessarily is the end-all, be-all. That's kind of what you're going for there. But end-all, be-all this weekend, it's win or go home, starting with the NFC matchups on Saturday. So our 4:30, well, AFC, NFC matchups. We'll start with the NFC, though. Packers and the 49ers. Aaron Rodgers has not beaten the 49ers in the playoffs. That scares me as a Packers fan. Jimmy G is going to play, but he's not 100% healthy either. So maybe you...
Was it confirmed he was playing now?
I'm pretty sure that's what ESPN said on their
I think it's
page.
Been confirmed that him and Bosa are playing, correct?
Yes. Don't quote me on that, but I'm looking it up right now. I'm pretty sure that's what I saw this morning across, you know, my little Packers feed, that he's going to play, but he's definitely banged up. How do you guys feel about this? I'll tell you how I feel about it momentarily, but how do you guys feel about the game?
The 49ers run the ball very well, and, you know, all three of us know that. Most of the world knows that, and the way that they run the ball is unique, too. Mike McDaniels and Kyle Shanahan are incredibly creative in which, you know, they in the ways in which they draw up their offense and their run schemes, especially, you know, from a week-to-week basis.
Right.
I mean, they just do, you know, a lot of different stuff that you don't always see. They use different elements to block players, and they even just use their alignment pre-snap.
Well, Kyle Shanahan
to successfully block defensive linemen.
Mike Shanahan was really good at that when he was a coach in the NFL.
Right.
Kyle's dad.
I mean, there are times that you can look at the 49ers run offense. Like, if you go look at the All-22, whatever else, and just based on alignment alone, like, they'll already have certain defenders blocked. So the way they run the ball, you know, should scare any team. It should scare the Packers, obviously. However, I think this game just comes down to Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, as long as they don't make any mistakes or Mike LaFleur doesn't mess anything up too bad, I think they should win this game. I see this being a one-possession game. But no offense to Emmanuel Mosley.
It was in the regular season.
A VFL, a guy that we like a lot, in Emmanuel Mosley, an underappreciated Tennessee Volunteer for sure. You know, he's a great cornerback three. He's a great cornerback two. But when he has to be the guy, when, you know, he's going to be the guy that's guarding Devontae Adams a lot of the time, and you know, him and Josh Norman are your one and two corners. Obviously, Jimmy Ward, a good safety. Jaquiski Tartt, not too bad either. I just don't think that they have the talent in the secondary to guard the Packers for four quarters, and eventually, you know, that'll put the ball in Jimmy G's hands a little bit more. And that's what happened the first time these two teams played. The Packers got after Jimmy G, and they were able to hold on to a win. But again, I think this is a game the 49ers lead early and eventually lose in a one possession game.
Yeah, it was a one possession game during the regular season. Came down to Aaron Rodgers having to make that drive with 37 seconds left and Mason Crosby hitting the big field goal as time expired. So I do tend to think it's going to be a tight game. When the 49ers have played Green Bay, it typically has been, whether it's been the playoffs, regular season, I'm talking about over the last, I mean, I can remember, I feel like over the last 10 to 12 years, it's always been some pretty tight games for them. Aaron Rodgers is going to be looking to get over the hump, you know, beating the 49ers in the playoffs. Jimmy G doesn't scare me. Deebo Samuel does. All the things he can do on the field and how they'll use him, that is the one thing that I'm worried about. You tend to worry about if George Kittle can get hot, but I've only seen him do that a couple times. I feel like this year he's been also plagued with injuries, and he just doesn't seem as dominant as he was a couple seasons ago.
What about the emergence of Juwan Jennings?
Juwan Jennings is a beast.
Third down receiver.
He's very reliable. Juwan Jennings, Deebo Samuel. I worry about Elijah Mitchell on the ground, as Charlie said. They run the ball very well. Packers' run defense isn't, the best. It's decent. But you bring back Jair Alexander should be playing, and then also Za'Darius Smith. He is back. So that is huge for the Green Bay Packers to get that help back on defense. GP3, how you feeling about this matchup? Packers come in as a 5.5-point favorite, according to our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now.
Yeah, I'm taking the 5.5 for the Packers all day.
Over-under set at 47.5, by the way.
I don't know. I'm usually not a fan of over-unders. I'd rather bet point spreads.
I don't like totals either. I don't know.
I don't generally bet a lot of totals either.
Yeah, I'm not really big into it. I did bet my first under last week in like probably a year, and it hit. But I like the Packers here. I think Rodgers is on a mission right now. This is probably more than likely his last year in Green Bay. I think he wants to go out on top, prove a lot of people wrong, try to get one more at least NFC title under his belt. I'm taking the Packers. I think they win by 2 touchdowns. I think Deebo should scare everybody on that Packers defense. But he's not going to be able to do it alone, and I have no faith in Garoppolo.
They better not come out the Super Gremlin again. I'm not going to like that.
We could have been superstars.
Nothing is late for us.
Remember, we was jacking cars.
I did like that when they did that.
Now it's not safe for you.
Yeah, that's the part. Deebo, yeah, they came out there. So, yeah, this should be a good game. I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring affair. I know it's set at 47.5, but I tend to think maybe a one-possession game for one team or another, but
28-24 Packers.
28-24 Packers.
And it's going to be 24-21 Packers.
For some reason, I just think it's going to be a low
49ers
game.
Are going to be winning 24-21 with about 6.5 minutes left. Packers win. Packers score. Go up 28-24 with about 3 minutes left. Jimmy G can't lead them down the field. Game
I like
over.
That.
I'm going 31-20
Packers. 31-20 Packers. I will go 24-10 Packers. And what is a low-scoring affair for both sides, what you expect. All right, next game on the NFC side. We'll save our AFC on the other side. Tampa Bay and Los Angeles Rams. The Bucks and the Rams. Matt Stafford, he's got his first playoff win. Tom Brady trying to get back to the Super Bowl, go back-to-back. Doesn't have as many weapons this year. How do you guys feel about this one? Tampa Bay comes in as 3-point favorite in Raymond James.
The Rams defense, the last two times these teams met in the regular season, really controlled that game for portions of that contest. They played with a lot of energy. They played with a ton of energy Monday night. Von Miller finally looks like he's in shape. Leonard Floyd is playing well. Those two are complementing each other with Wirfs and Jensen banged up without AB, without Chris Godwin. You know, Jalen Ramsey can guard Mike Evans and at least slow him down, if not take him out of the game pretty much. Then you're just left with Gronk. That makes it a whole lot easier to cover Gronk. Not to mention Matthew Stafford, I feel like, in this Rams offense will really be playing with a lot more confidence given, what happened Monday night, getting that first playoff win out of the way. I think the Rams come out and win this game by 10 points.
I think the Rams win, too.
I think we're all in agreement. I think the Rams get it done. I just don't think Brady's got the weapons he needs, and that Rams defense is ferocious.
Yeah, it's the defense. They're not going to be able to get, Keyshawn Vaughn going on the ground, or I don't know if Fournette's even playing. And then you have Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin on the outside. Like you said, Jalen Ramsey, he can guard Gronk, too. He can be very physical with him if they had to, if Gronk started to be a problem. But he's going to shut down whoever's on the outside. And then not only Aaron Donald, all the triple teams, double teams he's going to be taking on, but then the way Von Miller has played so far in the playoffs. I think that speaks well for the Rams, all in agreement there. I've got the Rams there. I think 28 Rams, or no, I go 35 Rams, and I don't know, 35-20 Rams win in a blowout. All right, AFC side, we'll save Titans last. We have the Bucks. I mean, not Bucks. I want to keep saying the Bucks. The Chiefs and the Bills in the Sunday night game, correct? They played 8:15.
Yeah, they will be the Sunday night game. They get the Nance Romo treatment on CBS.
Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites at Arrowhead.
Yeah, people are
that line's going down then, because it was 2.5, I think, 3 maybe to start.
Yeah, de facto AFC Championship game again, if you haven't heard. Yeah. You know, whoever wins this game will be in the Super Bowl. We all know that, obviously. I like the Bills here. You know, I know the Bills won on the road the first time they played, and that was before the Chiefs really got rolling. The Chiefs have now won 9 out of 10, but I think the Bills' defense matches up incredibly well with what the Chiefs are going to do. The biggest X factor for me is the combination of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon. You know, if they can really get going, the Bills play with more corners on the field than any other team in the NFL. You know, that's how they like to run their defense. They've been really successful doing that this year. But, you know, that does give McKinnon and Edwards-Helaire a little bit of space to get loose. And McKinnon showed a lot of shiftiness last week. So maybe if they can run the ball well, you know, that changes things. But for me, I think the Bills can really make the Chiefs keep it short, keep things in front of them, and frustrate that Chiefs offense. Meanwhile, the Chiefs defense, you know, for the strides that they did make during that winning streak, they faded again down the stretch a little bit. I think the Bills offense is clicking right now. It'll be a close, really fun game, obviously, but I like the Bills to pull away.
I want to say I like the Bills. I think yesterday I said I was going to stick with my Bills pick, but it's going to be tough to beat Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not ready to throw in the towel on that. I think I'm back on the Chiefs are really, really good offensively, and I think that Josh Allen wants a lot of revenge. I just don't think he gets it this year. I think eventually he does pull away from Patrick Mahomes and he'll you know best him and get to a Super Bowl. I just don't think it's this year. I think next year might be Josh Allen's year. So I'm going to go Chiefs, and let's go 42-28 Chiefs.
See, as a Titans fan, should we make it to the AFC Championship, I think I would rather play the Chiefs than the Bills. But I don't know. I just think this Bills team, I think they're playing really well right now. They've been playing for their season pretty much ever since December started to fight for a playoff spot. I like the Bills here. I picked the Chiefs at the beginning of the season to make it to the AFC Championship game, but I think the Bills are going to get it done. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. 45-38. Bills.
All right. And we do have a couple minutes still here before we have to take a break. So let's go ahead and get into the Bengals and the Titans. And I will give GP3 the floor first, and we'll end with Charlie because I know he has a lot to say.
Yes. Titans, Bengals.
Let's go. Tighten up.
Talking about it, starting to give me goosebumps. But
got him. Got the chicken skin.
Oh, yeah. I think this is going to be a really good game. I think Joe Scheisse is going to come in there. Yeah, he's going to sling the ball around. I think he's going to have some success early. I really do think that the Titans' corners are going to have trouble guarding Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. However they decide to line up, I think they're going to throw in some trick plays in there to try to catch the Titans off guard. But in the end, I think the Titans are more experienced. They're going to have a fresh Derrick Henry. The defensive line for the Bengals is pretty beat up right now. I don't know. Titans should be able to run the ball. Even if Henry doesn't get a full workload, I mean, Dante Foreman should still be able to run the ball pretty well against that defensive front. And Tannehill's going to do what he needs to do to get it done. A.J. Brown's going to get open. Julio's healthy now. You know, healthy Julio's scary to think about, too, alongside A.J. Brown. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina's going to be doing his thing there. In the end, I think the Titans pull away, but I do think it's a very, very good game. Close game. Titans maybe even win on a last-second field goal. Give me Titans 35, Bengals 34.
All right. I also believe this is going to be a very good game. I actually think this is going to be the best game of the weekend. I think the Titans, the anticipation, Titans fans, Derrick Henry coming back, that's a very – you know, that's the storyline there for the casual NFL fan. It's going to be very exciting to see him back in action. How healthy is he going to look? I mean, that's the biggest thing you guys, I'm sure, think. Like, how good will he actually look out there? And then can Ryan Tannehill take that next step? Like, eventually he's going to have to do something and shoulder some of this load and, you know, really prove to himself that not that he's elite, but that he can get it done. Like, you know, that's the one thing I would say where – you have a little questions about if you're a Titans fan with the offense is Ryan Tannehill. Joe Burrow, I don't think it's not very crazy to say that he is the better quarterback in this matchup.
No, he is.
Yeah, I have no problem saying that. I think he's the better quarterback. I think this is going to be a very entertaining, very good game. Best game of the weekend. And give me the Titans in a close one, down to a field goal. Titans 38, Bengals 35. Titans win and head to the AFC Championship in Nastyville. Charlie Collier.
You know, one of the biggest matchups in this game that I feel like people are overlooking, it's not Ja'Marr Chase. It's not T. Higgins. You know, obviously, we know both of those guys. It's Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd is a very sneaky, very talented slot receiver. And we've seen Elijah Molden, you know, do a lot of really nice things in his rookie year, but that's going to be a really tough task for him. Just in Week 18 alone, you know, we saw Danny Amendola start to cook Elijah Molden a little bit. And granted, the Titans ran way too much zone in the second half, it felt like. But, you know, Elijah Molden's going to have a big game against Tyler Boyd, a player that is clearly better than him. I think that's where they have probably the biggest advantage anywhere on the field, offensively or defensively. However, the Titans are a team that's built to win in the playoffs. The Titans are an experienced playoff team. I think they're a much better coach team on all fronts. And, you know, with the Bills losing Larry Ogunjobi and, you know, with the Bengals – did I say the Bills? With the Bengals losing Larry Ogunjobi and with, you know – the Titans having the advantage, I feel like, both offensively and defensively at the line of scrimmage, you know, that's enough for me to pick the Titans. You know, I think that this game will be eventually won at the line of scrimmage. Joe Burrow, he's substantially worse when teams are able to bring pressure without blitzing. When you're able to pressure Joe Burrow without bringing extra players, his QBR drops substantially. The Titans are the second-best team in the NFL at generating pressure without blitzing, with just bringing four players. Their defensive front is healthy right now, and with that, I think they'll be able to pressure Joe Burrow frequently. I'm going to pick the Titans. I'm going to pick the Titans to win by 9 points.
Hey, there you have it. Those are our picks. Make your picks this week, and as I told you before, FanDuel Sportsbook, they want to make each win that much more in the NFL playoffs. That's why they're going to hook up you new customers. 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional playoffs. You bet $5, you win $150 on any team to win any divisional playoff game. Doesn't have to be the Titans, doesn't have to be the Bengals. You can bet any of these matchups this weekend on Saturday or Sunday. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place than the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the America's number one sportsbook, safe and secure, the best-in-class customer service. When you win, FanDuel will pay those winnings in as little as 2 hours. And if you already have the sportsbook, FanDuel is going to hook all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. So don't feel left out if you're not a new customer, because you and your friend will get $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win $150 off a $5 bet when you use promo code BLITZ when you sign up. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, use promo code BLITZ, and pick your divisional playoff team before kickoff. As always, 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, $10 first deposit is required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $150. Bonus for Tennessee users for filling site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Quick timeout, come back, wrap up the week.
Southland band playing Rocky Top, Smokey leading our boys out through the tee, makes a hair on the back of my neck stand up. They hit the field line up for the kickoff, it's football time in Tennessee, we've all been waiting.
I cannot ever listen to this song and not like chuckle. I'm a ball, but I know the bass line every time it comes on, so I expect it. You ready for it? Crank it up.
Ball for life, y'all.
Ball for life, y'all. All right, time to finish the show, the week, with a little Vol talk, though. Tennessee basketball, Thompson Bowling Arena, and Assembly Center, 6 p.m. tip-off. Who you got, GP3?
Hinted at it in the first hour, first segment. I'm taking LSU, and it's not because I don't want Tennessee to win. It's because I need them to prove it to me first. I'm going to pick it to be a close game. Let's go 74-72.
If we knew the status of the LSU players, I'd probably be fully committal to not taking Tennessee or taking Tennessee. Don't know. Seems like they may not play again. Xavier Pence and Darius Days. Don't forget the S. I will go ahead and take Tennessee in what is a – mucky game, but a big game from Kenny Chandler. He said revenge game. I feel like he comes out and lives up to his word. Tennessee 72, LSU 64. Charlie?
He said, what was your score?
72-64.
Okay. Oh, we almost had the same one again.
Uh-huh.
I like the Vols, baby. I think you won't see Xavier Pinson. I do think you see Darius Days. I don't think you see Josiah Jordan James. And I do think you see a Vols team that plays much better with their on-ball defense. You know, they don't just let LSU get to the rim consistently. I think Tennessee is going to come out with some fire tomorrow. I like the Vols here. Give me the Vols. 68-64.
Hey, there you have it. Hey, great week. Hope you enjoy the playoffs this weekend. Enjoy the Tennessee basketball game tomorrow. Remember, go get your White Claw. Sit back on your couch. You guys be safe, Charlie. Y'all be safe on the road going to the Titans game. I wish you guys all luck over the weekend. Great week. If you missed anything, podcast will be up very shortly. For Charlie Collier, for GP3, I'm Chance Collins. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll do it all again on Monday right here on The Blitz.